Բարի երեկո, սիրելի հայրենակիցներ, ինչպես ամեն երեք շաբթի երեկո կմիանանք ուղի եթերով, հավասիկ պիտի շարունակենք մեր հաղորդաշարը այսօր պիտի խոսենք շատ կարևոր նման կարևոր նյութի մասին, ինչպես անցյալ երկու-երեք շաբաթները խոսանք եւ ունեցանք լեկտուրը պարոն Քրիստոֆեր Ջոն Յերկինզի հետ, միևնույնիսկ պիտի խոսենք այս վերջի անձրաթարսերու մասին եւ իր դերակցություններու մասին, որպես իստորիան եւ որպես իր ժուրնալիզմի քաղաքապարը մի դամեզի մի փածադրե վերջի իրավարտարձերու մասին մի անգլերեն լեզվով փածադրվի, ուրեմն որովհետև ինքը քիչ վրա է երկար ժամանակ մի չառնեմ իրեն ներկայացնելու, որով շատերուս արդեն ներկայացած են։ Իսկ մի ունենանք հյուրը երկրորդ շաբաթ, այս շաբաթ մի խոսել թե փայքը, որովհետև emergency ուրիշ կորզոմը կնած երկրորդ երեք շաբթի մի ունենանք Ted Pike, Reverend Ted Pike, շատ կարևոր անձնավորությունն է, որ նորեն մի խոսի այդիալի վերաբերյալ։ Good evening, Christopher, how are you?
Very good, Pedros, how are you?
Praise the Lord. We welcome you again one more time this week. We had a good gathering. The lecture that you gave, there is a good response. And thank you again one more time for coming and giving us your knowledge. I would like to start the interview today with the very important question. The last minute of your lecture, you stated few words which was not very much understood by some people. Would you elaborate on that, meaning about the Turks?
I believe you're referring to when I suggested that Armenia's future will be improved if there's a rapprochement between the Turks and the Armenians. Right. And I think many people misconstrued that to mean that I was trying to claim that the Turks don't have any culpability for what happened and that there should be no reparations. And that's not at all what I meant. There should be reparations, and the Turks are certainly culpable for what happened, as are the Kurds and as are the Jews. And I would like that to be very clear. The Turks were involved in murdering the Armenians, as were the Kurds, and the plan and the leadership, the orchestration, the financing, as Sir Gerard Lowther, British ambassador to the Turkish Empire, put it, the Jews were the brains behind it and the Turks were the military behind it.
So that's pretty much, we wanted to clarify that. Because we are Armenians, we do hold the Turks to mostly responsible party also. Coming to the latest whatever is going on around the country, I would like you to give your opinion on your research opinion on ADL.
The ADL has taken some very bizarre stances on the Armenian genocide, which are confusing, especially to the broader worldwide Jewish community, which is having a very difficult time understanding why Abraham Foxman is doing and saying what he's doing and saying. And initially, he was hesitant to use the word genocide in the context of the Armenian genocide, I think preferring to call it a massacre. And also he has stated that he doesn't believe that the U.S. Congress should pass resolutions recognizing the genocide, which strikes many Jews as very odd, that there should be this form of denial of what's taking place. And Foxman has since, I believe today, stated that he will call it genocide, but he's still pushing the idea that somehow Turkish Jews are in jeopardy if the United States Congress recognizes historical facts as it should.
So he is willing to use the word genocide on what terms? Can you explain? What is the motive behind it?
Well, I think he got clobbered. Everybody confronted him with the idea that what he's doing is ridiculous and hypocritical. and there were Jewish groups calling for his resignation, and it was scandalous what has been occurring. And the people of Watertown, Massachusetts, said that they would no longer participate in the ADL's No Place for Hate campaign because the ADL had taken this stance on the Armenian genocide. And there was a meeting of the town council where they voted to cease their participation in this program. And I believe other towns, Salem and Newton, perhaps, have also started to question whether they should be involved with the ADL. And one of the men who was the regional director for the ADL asked that the national body change its stance, and I believe he was fired by the national center of the ADL. And then I think two others resigned in protest against that firing.
And go ahead, I'm sorry.
And as a result of all this, Foxman has wisely begun to use the word genocide, but he inexplicably continues to say that the ADL will not support a congressional resolution on this issue, and that, well, let me read what he said. We continue to firmly believe that a congressional resolution on such matters is a counterproductive diversion and will not foster reconciliation between Turks and Armenians and may put at risk the Turkish Jewish community and important multilateral relationship between Turkey, Israel, and the United States, close quote. Now, he's got some explaining to do. In what sense will it put the Turkish Jewish community at risk? And in what sense is it a threat to American-Turkish-Israeli relations, to tell the truth?
So we can simply say that Mr. Foxman can deny or is against the genocide as we speak, and making some excuses. He just wants to pat some people in the back.
Well, it's a strangely contradictory stance he's taking. On the one hand, he himself is acknowledging that it's genocide. On the other hand, he's claiming that it's counterproductive for the Congress to do the same that he has done. And that's ludicrous. There's nothing counterproductive about telling the truth. If there's to be rapprochement between Turkey and Armenia, the Turks have to acknowledge the history.
So which means he's still taking the same stand.
Absolutely, he's still taking the same stance. He's playing games with semantics, but on a political level, he hasn't changed anything.
In the term, What does Mr. Foxman or ADL really represent? Why is it so important? His voice is so important.
Because the Jewish community is deeply involved in American politics. And there's a new book coming out by Meyersheimer and Walt called The Israel Lobby and U.S. Foreign Policy. And it is well known that an ADL's position on a candidate can make or break that candidate in the political arena.
So basically,
being the prime example.
You're trying to say they can elect a candidate and they can throw a candidate out?
That's the record that they've developed, that when the ADL goes against a candidate, it's very serious business for that political candidate. So that when the ADL takes this kind of a stance on a congressional issue, there's a tacit implication that if a candidate votes for this resolution, they don't have the backing of the ADL. And we have testimony from Paul Findley, who was a congressman in Illinois, in his book, They Dare to Speak Out, of how destructive that can be to a politician's career. Senator Charles Percy in Illinois also came into problems when he went against the Israel lobby. So it's very serious business for a politician. The ADL has a lot of power, and with that power comes great responsibility. And I think that what they're doing in terms of the Armenian genocide is unfair, hypocritical, and there's got to be more to it than is on the surface, and they should be confronted with these issues. And they should be asked why they're doing this. And they should be asked by the Armenian government and by Armenian leaders if they are aware of the fact that the Young Turks, the leadership of the Young Turks, who called for, planned, and executed the extermination of the Armenian people were Jews and were pursuing a Jewish agenda. They were pursuing Judaism. They were pursuing Zionism. And they were financed by Jews, and it was part of a Jewish banker's plan to disrupt, overthrow, and then partition the Turkish Empire. And I think Foxman ought to be confronted with these facts. He ought to be asked if he's aware of these facts. I think the Israeli government ought to be confronted with these facts and asked if what their stance is on this and if there's any ethnic bias going on in here. Because these people, if they are aware of these facts, have an interest that is beyond what appears to be on the surface. And if they're not aware of these facts, they should be made aware of these facts and condemn what happened.
What can we do in order to change the political situation where a candidate doesn't have to depend on ADL?
I think the ADL is doing a very good job itself of creating a situation where a candidate doesn't have to depend on the ADL. If Foxman continues down this path, he's going to have no credibility at the end of his journey. I think the people of Watertown, Pennsylvania, the Armenian community, have given us a perfect example of what needs to be done. People need to stand up. They need to organize. They need to form a cohesive political voice and express it. And when the ADL does something outrageous, as the ADL has done in terms of the Armenian genocide, people have to get together, speak out against it, and throw the ADL out.
Together we need to go to throw ADL out anyways, because they've done more destructive work than anything good for humanity. We can read it on Ted Pike's page about the ADL itself, how destructive it is for humanity. But in any way, I would like to ask you this question. Where did ADL come from?
It's a strange story. The B'nai B'rith, which grew out of Freemasonry, became a Jewish, purely Jewish branch of Freemasonry.
The one that was founded in 1913, you mean?
That's when the ADL was formed. I think the B'nai B'rith came about around 1843, something like that. And then in 1913, one of the local Jewish directors of B'nai B'rith, named Leo Frank, raped and murdered a 13-year-old girl named Mary Fagan, P-H-A-G-A-N. And he was put on trial for the crime. And since he was a B'nai B'rith leader, B'nai B'rith formulated the Anti-Defamation League as a pressure group to put pressure on the media and the community to free Leo Frank, who had murdered this young girl.
To free the rapist, basically.
They were successful in influencing the press, but the man was ultimately convicted and then lynched for the murder. And his lawyers were very racist and tried to pin the crime on a black janitor who had been working in the building where Frank was the manager. I think it was a pencil factory. And they tried to pin the murder on him, and Frank got him to forge letters allegedly written by the girl. And it was a very scandalous trial, and it was very shameful things that happened and very racist things that happened. And at that time, they tried to turn their racism around on the community and say that this poor man who had murdered this girl was being persecuted because he was a Jew. And that's nonsense. He was a rapist and a murderer.
In the United States, they will put them in prison. But in some countries...
This was the United States, and it was in the South, and...
Yeah, that's why they put them in prison.
With the formation of the ADL in America in 1913. That's the history of it.
So ADL came from B'nai B'rith.
Yes. It was an outgrowth of B'nai B'rith and an outgrowth of the murder trial of a local director of a B'nai B'rith leader.
And about B'nai B'rith, does it have any connection with the Young Turks?
I've seen things. I've seen claims that if you look at the records of B'nai B'rith, you can see that some of the Young Turks came from that organization or had contacts with people who came from that organization. I've never tried or had means to verify any of that, but I have seen those claims.
How about ADL? Does it have any connection with the Young Turks?
Not as far as I know. ADL has a connection with World Jewry, and in that sense, it had a connection with the Young Turks. As far as in the distant past when these atrocities were going on, I'm not aware that the ADL ever tried to cover them up.
Cover?
But there would have been no need for them to cover it up because the Jewish connection to the Young Turks was not well known in America. And the Turks in the First World War were vilified for what they did. So the ADL or other Jewish groups, if they sought to represent Zionist Jewish interests, would have had an incentive to expose those crimes because those crimes were used to bring the United States into a war against the Turkish Empire. That's why you had Henry Morgenthau lobbying the American government with information about what was taking place in the Turkish Empire. But he left out a very critical fact that was involved in all this, and that fact was that the Young Turks were Jewish. The leadership were Jewish.
So what has been the response of the Jewish community in large?
To the ADL, the response of the Jewish community is, how dare you? How dare you treat this crime against humanity in this way with this kind of cavalier, flippant attitude and try to make something political out of something which is a concern of all human beings? It's very important that genocides be acknowledged and understood and that the every detail of the facts of those genocides be recorded so that these things not happen again. And so that the criminals who are responsible for it have a culpability and that there is this deterrence to it. Because one of the phases of genocide is denial, and we have the Jewish leadership in denial of what Jewish leaders did at the time of the genocide. And that's an atrocity, and the Jewish community is repulsed by it.
You've been following the news and you have a blog. Could you be kind enough to give your website again one more time so people can read the daily blogs?
If you go to jewishracism.com, jewishracism as if it's one word, .com, there is a link that links to my blog, which is jewishracism.blogspot.com. And I try to provide helpful information about how this issue is proceeding in the mass media and in the political arena.
Obviously, it has made a big, big noise all over the world because all the news medias are writing. Some of them are mainstream medias, but I haven't seen it on CNN or other newses. Are they under control of the same powers? Can we talk about it?
Well, I would say CNN has a very heavy Zionist bias, as does Fox News. I've seen Associated Press cover it, and the issue is getting bigger. I hope that Waterton continues to put pressure on the ADL to not take half measures and to go all the way and pressure Congress to recognize this genocide. But you have to ask yourself, why is the ADL interjecting itself into this issue in the first place? And I think that we have to get a dialogue going with the ADL, and they have to be forthcoming, and there has to be an exchange, and we have to query them and ask them, are you aware of the Jewish involvement in this crime? And will you acknowledge it? And will you help to make reparations to the Armenian people for this crime? This crime should be treated exactly as the Jewish Holocaust was treated, with the same reverence and respect for the Armenian lives that were lost as is shown to the Jewish lives that were lost. And that hasn't happened from the ADL yet. And I would also add from the American Jewish Committee and AIPAC. They have got to treat this as the Nazi Holocaust is treated.
Can we talk about the issue of AIPAC and Israeli lobby? What are
they're very powerful.
What
they
are their stands?
Control up there.
What are their stands?
I would say that the Jewish lobby in America brought us into war in Iraq, that the American people are culpable for the genocide that we have committed against the Iraqis, and that you can see a very strong parallel between what has happened to the American people and to the Iraqis by the control of Zionist Jews over the political sphere that happened in the Ottoman Empire when the Jewish Young Turks took over the Ottoman Empire politically and caused the Turkish people to commit mass murder against the Armenians. The American people are doing the same thing under the direction of the same forces, and we share the same type of culpability for what we're doing. And it's got to stop because this is growing and growing quickly, and we have American politicians who are under the control of the Jewish lobby and who have pledged at Herzliya and in other places to support this effort, not by common Jewish people, but by terribly corrupt Jewish leadership to bring America into war against the Iranian people and ultimately against the Syrians and the Russians. And this is highly serious, very dangerous things that are going on, and the American people have to wake up to it. Because the people of Watertown have woken up.
Absolutely, but Watertown has woken up and Small Voice has done big damage. We should
isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing how that one small little town council, by simply asserting the truth and demanding justice, has shaken up the whole political arena of the United States?
It's an example to all politicians, actually, that swear and take oath to serve the people, and when they start serving, most of them, I'm not saying all of them, obviously, but most of them forget their oath and they start serving these kind of powers, unfortunately. It should be an example to all politicians who have to give an answer to God one day, obviously.
And what we have to do is set an example that they can get elected if they stand up against the ADL, for example, or take a position against AIPAC. And that example has not been set yet. On the contrary, these forces have shown what power they have and what domination they have over the media and political financing. The Jewish community is heavily involved in financing political campaigns and in the media. There's just no denying it. It's a fact. And we have to organize because no matter which ethnic group it was, that is such a small ethnic group to have that kind of predominance in the political arena is dangerous. It's undemocratic. It's tyrannical. And we have seen the danger that this tyranny leads to. When the Young Turks took over, they started committing genocide against people. When the Bolshevik Jews took over Russia, they started committing genocide against people, and they killed tens of millions of people. And now these same forces are leading America to commit genocides across the Middle East, and they're calling for nuclear war, which is the most horrific of all genocides and the most cowardly. And they're really pushing for it. It's an open fact.
One more thing. I would like you to present to our audience about AIPAC. Does it side with the genocide, or is it against? First, before I ask you that question, genocide is a word. If they recognize it or not, to me, it has to be solved. Our land has to be returned to us, and there need to be paid restitution. But we're talking on a political phase right now. How about AIPAC? Are they working against just like ADL?
My understanding is that AIPAC has taken a stance similar to the ADL, as had the American Jewish Committee. But I saw today a press release by David A. Harris, a executive director of the American Jewish Committee, where that stance is changing. So what Watertown has done has had a good effect, and we shouldn't try to ridicule when people are doing positive things. We should encourage it. But it's got to go all the way. This resolution has to be passed. And then, and in the process of that change, we have to get these people to respond to our questions about whether or not they are aware of the Jewish involvement in this issue. That's got to be a key part of it.
How can somebody that is a staunch fighter against the word genocide or recognition of genocide all of a sudden in one day change his word and not hide his feelings?
I think that when they do, they should not be attacked for doing it. And I think the reason it happened was because the Jewish community came out against them. And the Jewish community at large is their base upon whom they depend for their power. Mm-hmm. Without the support of the general Jewish community, they're nothing. And that's why I'm so strongly petitioning the Jewish community to learn this history and become aware of these facts. Because when the Armenian Genocide began, when the Young Turks first took over the Ottoman Empire, the British press called upon the Jews of England to tell the Jews of the Ottoman Empire to stop killing Christians. And they warned these Jews that there would be a backlash against all Jews if world Jewry did not condemn this murder of Christians by these Zionist Jews. And that took place in 1911. There was a series of correspondence in the London Times where they were calling upon the Jewish community to put an end to this mass murder. Now, that was 4 years before the Jewish Young Turks mass murdered 1.5 million people. And instead of coming to the aid of these Christians, the Jewish community in England ridiculed those people who were begging the Jewish community to stop this murder. So that Jewish community in England shares in the culpability for what happened to the Armenian people. And the Jewish community in America shares in the culpability for what is happening to the people of Iraq. And we have got to get the Jewish community in America, most of whom are decent people, to take a stand, and many of them have, don't get me wrong, many of them have been the most vocal in taking a stand against this push from the Jewish community to wage nuclear war against Iran, which is insanity.
The other question, which is, again, the Israeli lobby that... You were talking about earlier. Has it changed its views?
The Israeli lobby is a political force, and it has to live with political realities. Now, it has been a spoiled political force that has had its way for a very long time. But ever since Israel attacked Lebanon in the Second Lebanese War, and ever since the Iraqi war has gone sour, and ever since almost all the voices you hear calling out for war against Iran are either Jewish voices or those who have been paid off by wealthy Jews, the American people are starting to wise up to what has taken place. And the Israeli lobby has to face that political reality. And the arrogance of Abraham Foxman in confronting the people of Waterton and their reasonable requests, I think, came as a shock to the entire political climate of the United States. And it's really an amazing event that has taken place. And I think it should serve as an example to the entire American people that we have got to take a stand and defend our interests, in spite of what these very wealthy people are doing to corrupt our society. And when I talk about those people, I'm talking about the Zionists who control the media and the neoconservative Zionists who control the Bush administration.
Would you assume that we should put our guards down because he used the word genocide, or should we fight harder right now?
For him to use the word genocide and at the same time to say that he doesn't want the Congress to pass this resolution...
That's hypocrisy. That's hypocrisy.
It's worse than hypocrisy. It's an insult to the intelligence and the dignity of the American people and the Armenian people. It's a slap in the face. It's saying, I'll toss you a bone, now shut up.
Absolutely. You're right on that one. The next question I would like to get into, how about the Turks, the government of Turkey?
We're talking about the politics
in the United States, ADL and Israeli lobby. What about Turks?
Well, the Turks are intimately involved in American politics. They have some hired lobbyists, Bob Livingston being one of them, and Dick Gephardt being another, and I think there's another. His name escapes me at the moment. But they pay them very large sums.
Hastert?
You're
talking about Hastert?
No, there was another name. I don't have it. I wasn't aware that Hastert was involved in that.
I believe Livingston had a video comments three, four weeks ago talking against the genocide and asking his people not to recognize the genocide.
And Hastert got involved in that?
I don't know. I'm not talking about Hastert. I'm talking about Bob Livingston.
Yes, absolutely. Livingston put out a video calling on behalf of the Turkish government for the Congress to not pass these resolutions. And it was a silly video. There was a
What is his interest? What is his gain? Let's put it this way.
Well, he's a former congressman, I believe, who was ousted during the Clinton administration in some sort of a scandal and became a lobbyist, and he's performing his job. That's his job. He's paid by the Turkish government to lobby, and that's what he's doing.
So his gain is money. Let's put it this way. He's exchanging the our forefathers who were massacred, who were killed brutally, for his money. So his pocket is larger. His pocket speaks out. So can we continue about Turkey again?
People should understand that the anomaly of Turkey being a predominantly Muslim country and at the same time having wonderful relations with Israel as Israel commits genocide against Palestinian Muslims is explained by the fact that ever since the Young Turks, who were crypto-Jews, Derne Jews, took over the Turkish Empire, they've had a never-ending string of control over the Turkish nation. And Ataturk destroyed the Turkish Empire and made the Turks anti-imperialist and, in the name of Turkish pride, made it a singular country. And ever since then, the military has taken over his role to keep Turkey a secular country, a nationalistic country, and a country completely under the control of Derne Jews.
How many percent is it?
Percent of Derne Jews in Turkey, very small. I would even hesitate to guess, but I would assume under 1%.
And they control a country 1%. Of 80 million?
Yes. A minute but extremely powerful percent. And that's why I have to laugh when ADL and others say that the poor Jews are going to be overwhelmed by the terrible Turks. If this genocide issue, well, that's not what he said, but that's what I'm saying. If this issue of the genocide history is recognized, it's ridiculous.
Why would they be overwhelmed? That's the part I don't understand.
I don't understand it either. Jews should have as much obligation as everyone else on earth to tell the truth, and the Jews in Turkey should tell the truth. And
especially ADL, who's anti-hate, and they're against genocides, and they're against massacres, they're against insulting gays. I guess gay people have more rights than Armenians who were massacred or killed brutally, let's say.
The fact that they are taking an historical issue and politicizing it when it doesn't concern them to begin with is very odd, and it strikes many people as very odd. And we have to ask them if they're aware of the issue that the Young Turk leadership was Jewish. We should contact Abraham Foxman and query him on this issue. we should ask him directly, and it shouldn't be just us, it should be the Armenian government. We should ask him, are you aware of the ethnic and religious origins of the leadership of the Young Turks who attempted to exterminate the Armenian people under their control?
The answer is going to be no, but obviously he knows it, yes.
Well, let's ask him. Let's see what he says. And then let's begin a dialogue on that issue. And I think that's what will ultimately lead to the Jewish community at large becoming aware of this history and waking up to the realities of what Zionist power has done and the terrible crimes that have been committed by Zionist power throughout the history of the Zionist movement.
So we're talking about the 1% of Dome Jews who are in control of Turkey. What kind of a power they have in order to put a control over 80 million Muslims? And Muslims of Turkey are staunch believers in them.
Yes, they are, and they were made that way under a series of dictatorships.
Especially Ataturk.
Absolutely. Ataturk became a cult of personality figure like Stalin.
And he killed the fanatical Muslims. He closed a couple of masjids down, I believe.
He changed the whole nature of Turkish society and made Turks proud to destroy themselves. He destroyed their empire. He destroyed their culture. He destroyed their religion. And he even went so far as to change from Arabic script to
Latin
characters with little features added to them to allow them to transliterate from one script to the other.
And the next dictator was continued the same way, I believe, and until today.
Well, there's always been a military junta, as someone described it to me, which has overseen whoever is the political face of the Turkish Empire. Just as in the very beginning, behind the official government, there was the Committee of Union and Progress, which was the real power behind the throne. The military of Turkey has taken over that role and is the power behind the throne and has taken out leaders of which it disapproved and threatens to take out the new leadership, which is going to come in, which is more Islamic.
So I'm going to come to the...
Well, this is a very, very important issue.
Yeah, I'm coming to the very important question right now. Is that the group that is writing letters to ADL not to recognize the Armenian genocide?
I would have no way of knowing that. I do know that this group has a profound interest in keeping their secrecy secret. They have existed as a secret subculture for hundreds of years, and their power is dependent upon the maintenance of that secrecy. And I do know that that group in Turkey has a very strong interest in the story that we're telling not getting out. That's why I think that the Israeli government and the Turkish government and the ADL should be asked if they are aware of these facts. And I would say that the Armenian government should be the one to make forward these letters, these inquiries to these people, and they should at the same time issue press releases stating that they have released these letters. And then let's see what the response is.
I don't think he's going to...
Now, the Armenian government should not do this in an aggressive way. It should do this in a way of trying to come to grips and understand with what is happening. Armenians have a right to protect their security, their heritage, and their future. And the Armenians have a right to ask the Israeli government and the ADL and the Turkish government why these terrible things are taking place, which are an insult to the dignity and the security of the Armenian people. That's the role of the Armenian government, is to protect the dignity and security of Armenians.
I'm sure you know of some Armenian leaders, not some Armenian leaders, most Armenian leaders knew the Young Turk and the Tehadis and Union of Progress. They knew the history of it. but they haven't come publicly, even historians. What would you say about that?
It's troubling, and it prompts many questions. It prompts the questions of, have there been people who have come out about it who have been silenced? It also prompts the question of, what are they so afraid of? And it prompts many questions. Who are they beholden to? Who controls them? Why is there such fear? And why is there no discussion? Whenever this issue comes up, it results in defamations and smear campaigns, but the issue itself is never allowed to come to the forefront and be openly discussed without intimidation and without defamations and without smear campaigns. It's a historical issue. It should be discussed as a historical issue. Personalities should be left out of it. And if there's nothing to hide, why are they trying to hide it?
Christopher, we have about 15 minutes left, and I want to put a dialogue on this last 15 minutes, a resemblance of what happened 92 years ago in Western Armenia. I won't say Turkey because I don't recognize it. Just like some people don't recognize some countries, I don't recognize the state of Turkey. It was our land. But I would like to put a resemblance, let's put the United States. Do you see the same resemblance in the United States, powers behind, small number of domes who are running the country, and we're looking up for another genocide in the United States?
Exactly the same thing is happening. The interests of the American people are being subverted in favor of the interests of Zionist Jews, who are bringing America into war and into debt, who are destroying the American image around the world, who are leading us towards an economic clash and a world war. These are the exact same things that were happening when World War I was being prepared by the Balkan Wars and by other things.
Just like
so. They openly call for World War III, and the American people are being led to a irrational hatred of Muslim people by Zionist Jews to dehumanize Muslim people and to lead Americans to commit further genocides against Muslim peoples and to tolerate the Israeli genocide of the Palestinian people. This is a horrific crime in which the American people are participating against our own interests.
By being
going on because our politicians are controlled by these people and are intimidated by these people. So God bless the people of Watertown, Massachusetts, for standing up against that kind of power.
What should people of the United States do? Because I see, I hear many Christian evangelists who are, they call themselves Zionists.
That's the exact same thing that was going on with the Armenian Church and the Armenian Revolutionary Parties, primarily the Tashnaks, when the Armenian Genocide was being prepared. They sided with their enemies.
Unknowingly.
They believed that they would gain redemption and gain a utopic society if they helped Zionist Jews to commit genocide, to provoke a world war, and to redraw the borders of the Middle East. And that's precisely what the Zionist Jews are up to today. They have subverted the evangelical Christian churches and subverted Christian theology and have given these Christians a utopian vision that if they promote World War III and commit nuclear genocide against the Russians and against the Muslims, that they will be raptured into heaven and that Jesus will come down and create an earthly kingdom.
Well, they have an explanation that they're chosen people and we have to support them. It's a different dialogue.
Anything against a Jew or against Israel, they will be cursed. And that if they bless every Jew and bless Israel, no matter what it does, that they will be themselves blessed.
I saw in a documentary on CNN today, actually, about the same topic we're talking about, evangelicals who are blind, and they're leading their people in blind ways, unfortunately.
Well, Armenian traitors did the same thing to the Armenian people, and look at what happened to them. 1.5 million of them were slaughtered. They had a short, little, temporary nation, which was immediately subverted by the same forces. The Bolshevik Jews took over the Armenian Republic, so they were under the same control of the Jewish bankers as they were when the Turks controlled them. And this slow genocide and wearing away of Armenian culture took place that had been taking place before. And this is what is happening to the United States. We're being Bolshevized. We're losing our rights. Our media is controlled. Our media does not report on international news. Our travel is being restricted.
Isn't the front fighter for all this ADL again? Losing the rights?
I wouldn't say that. I would say that the ADL is a representative of organized Jewry and has as its mission the promotion of Jewish interests. Now, if we go beyond that, we have to get specific and specifically identify what it is you're talking about.
We're talking about the hate crime bills that they're trying to pass all over. We're talking about...
The hate crime bills, I view as very dangerous to our civil liberties, and I do believe that the ADL is involved in trying to institute hate crimes laws. And I do think that hate crimes laws represent the Bolshevization of America, that if we enable people to determine what thoughts we can and cannot have and what expressions we can and cannot make,
that's
we
not
have
democracy.
Lost our dignity as human beings and our ability to defend ourselves from corrupt government. And that is highly dangerous. We always have to have the ability to defend ourselves from corrupt government, or else we're going to be led into concentration camps and extermination camps. It has happened every time that that's taken place in history. When politicians have impunity against their actions against the people, they turn against the people and they begin to commit genocide against the people. And we have to protect ourselves from that. And shame on the ADL for sponsoring hate crimes laws.
They sponsor hate crime laws and all this... In the church, you cannot preach certain, because it becomes a hate crime if you express the Bible, if you teach the Bible. On the other hand, some Zionist
Christians... wouldn't put words in the ADL's mouth, but we have the example of what has taken place in Canada.
Absolutely. Some pastors are going to prison for it.
Yes, that when they preach the literal word of the Old Testament and the New Testament, I think in Leviticus and
especially New Testament,
Romans perhaps,
right,
it speaks out against homosexuality, and when they repeat those verses, they place themselves in legal jeopardy.
They go to prison or they go to educational classes.
I think they're initially fined, and if they persist, they're in jeopardy of the loss of their liberty. But I'm no expert on that issue. I don't know that ADL is pushing for that specifically, but that is the process that took place in Canada, that there were similar laws to what the ADL is pushing for that led to that kind of an environment.
It was the ADL. It was the same organization again, which works all around the world to protect, but they don't protect themselves. They try to protect the evil, unfortunately, and evil doings. So what should us Armenians in the United States expect?
I think Armenians in the United States should demand answers to important questions and demand to be treated equitably to the way that Jews are treated in regard to the Armenian Holocaust and the Jewish Holocaust. And that I think that the Armenians have a good ally in the broader Jewish community who is waking up to the fact that they are being misrepresented by people who don't stand for the same things that they in general stand for. And if there can be a combination of decent Jews and decent Armenians, it could change our entire future and create many new wonderful opportunities and put an end to this march towards World War III. And I hope and pray that that is what is the fruit of this wonderful awakening that has taken place in Watertown, Massachusetts.
So, Christopher, what should Armenians do for the statements that Mr. Foxman stated in the news press today, August 21st, or yesterday, he wants to recognize the word genocide, but he still wants to fight against recognition of genocide in the Congress. How should the Armenian community react?
Mr. Foxman has advised Armenians and Turks to get together and dialogue. I think he should follow his own advice with the Armenian community and meet with Armenian leaders in an open public forum that is televised or recorded, and there should be a discussion to hash out why he precisely is taking this position, and he should respond directly to the Armenian community's concerns, and there should be a discussion about it. And it should be an open discussion so that this issue can get resolved in the best interests of everyone involved. And if that doesn't happen, then there should be the strongest condemnation of what is taking place from all sides. And I think that you'll find a good ally in the broader Jewish community in issuing that condemnation.
Also, we're almost coming to the end of our interview, actually. First of all, I'd like to thank you for staying up late and explaining what's been going on lately to the Armenian community in your views. Could you say in few words for your final opinion?
First, I want to thank the Armenian community for the wonderful reception I received in Glendale, California. And I would also like to thank the Armenian community of Watertown, Massachusetts, for showing us all the way to a civilized and productive resolution of these issues. And I would say that it's shown us all hope of how easy it is, really, to take our country back from these forces and how simple it is. All we have to do is tell the truth and demand justice.
And what would you say to the politicians of, besides Watertown, the rest of the country?
I would say to them that they are responsible to us, and that if honest men and women come forward and have the dignity and the decency to tell the truth and to fight for justice, that the American community will support them. And then we have to prove that to them, and we have to support them financially. We have to support them with organization. And it's something we have to do quickly, because we have presidential candidates who are openly asserting that they're going to bring us into war with Iran. And war with Iran means World War III, which means that we, as humanity, are risking the extermination of the human race. And this simple little event in Watertown shows us the way. And we should observe it, learn from it, and act quickly.
Do you think any presidential candidate is capable of changing the situation?
I don't think the presidential candidates can do anything until the American people change the situation. It has to come...
So it's not on one
American
person.
People. And we can change it. We can change it, for example, if we were to impeach Bush and Cheney or to take some organized action that shows these forces that we will not stand for it, they will be forced to recognize that political reality. We don't have to get somebody who's completely honest or completely on our side. We simply have to show these forces that we won't stand for it, and it will... And then we can start taking steps to regain complete control.
Well, thank you very much for your precious time and giving us your opinion what's been going on around, because I've read it every day on your blog. You have about, yesterday you wrote about three different articles, I believe. And can you say one more time what is the website so people can read the blog that you write?
At the website JewishRacism.com, Jewish racism, as if it's one word, no spaces, no hyphens, just JewishRacism.com, you can get a link to my blog. You can also get a link to my book called The Jewish Genocide of Armenian Christians. It's a 575-page book, which you can download for free as a PDF file.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much for inviting me. I've enjoyed it a great deal, and I think it's been a productive discussion once again.
And this interview will be on your website pretty soon, hopefully. Thank you very much for your time, and I will talk to you later.
Thank you, Petros.
Thank you.